There are things man was not meant to know. But that doesn't mean that they don't know us. When you stare off into space and it blinks back at you. When the creature under your bed calls some friends over for dinner. When your very sanity is hanging by a thread. There is one place you can turn to.
Lovecraft's Detective Agency, if you're sane enough to ask, you probably don't need our help. Is your problem unknowable or unspeakable, or both? So neither, then. Oh, please don't mistake me. I'm not saying your experience is unconcerning. Oh, I fully acknowledge that. From your perspective, unconcerning might seem like an understatement. Perhaps that is true objectively. I really couldn't say. Look, think of it this way. If you were experiencing an inflamed appendix, that would be a serious medical issue. However, you would not call an obstetrician and expect them to be the one to help. In this metaphor, I am the obstetrician. I deal exclusively in unknowable and unspeakable horrors, which is to say those sorts of things are my specialty. The situation you have described is neither unknowable nor unspeakable. It certainly sounds like something you should have dealt with, but I am not the person to assist with your predicament. Look, I don't wish to appear uncaring. To be fair, I probably am, but I don't wish to appear so. In any case, I would be more than happy to see if I can refer you to someone who might be able to aid you in this endeavor. Let me put you on hold for just one moment. Gladys, do we know anyone who could help this young man out with a 60-foot-tall chinchilla?
There's that company that sells kaiju hunting equipment.
Oh, 60 feet hardly qualifies as a kaiju, does it?
I guess not. Can't really think of anything else, though.
I thought as much. Hello again. Can't help, I'm afraid. Have a lovely remainder of your day or your life, whichever ends sooner.
Mr. Lovecraft.
Yes?
There are those who might consider it rude for you to take a phone call from someone else when you're meeting with a client.
I see. Are you one of those people?
I'm not one of them.
Well, I hope it will offer you some consolation when I remind you that you are not a client until I agree to take your case. Therefore, there is no reason to be concerned about that bit of propriety. Now, to get back to our earlier discussion, where was I?
You were saying no.
I was? Oh, good. I rather hoped I was. No, Mr. Devon, I will not take your case.
I don't understand.
It's the opposite of, yes, Mr. Devon, I will take your case. See the difference?
Why will you not take my case?
Because I do not want to. Not to mention the fact that your case barely qualifies as such.
I'm hiring you to help me find something.
No, you're not. Because he said no, remember?
I have no especial desire to explain myself, but it seems to me that if I do, it has an above-average chance of causing you to leave, which I do have an especial desire for. Your case, and again, I'm being generous with that description, is in fact a treasure hunt. It has a 70% chance of being a wild goose chase, a 10% chance of being the first in a series of more annoying treasure hunts, and a 12% chance of unearthing something which would better remain...
Earthed?
Inelegant, but let's go with that. There is almost no chance of an outcome I find desirable, and I do not wish to participate in that.
I will pay you well.
You'll pay him to turn down your case? It's not the usual procedure, but I like it.
Mr. Lovecraft, this endeavor cannot succeed without you.
Then it cannot succeed.
I need your help.
Mr. Devon, the answer is no.
I learned to never take no for an answer.
What a stupid lesson to learn.
The current standing of our professional relationship is that I am declining your proposal in as polite a manner as I am capable of. Please, let us leave the status quo as the status quo. There is no benefit to either of us in trying to push this matter.
I can push pretty hard if I need to. But my instincts are telling me not to go there with you. If you change your mind...
Do not hold your breath on that point.
Or do. We don't really care. Have a nice day, Mr. Devon. Or don't. Again, we don't really care. Morty, do we need to worry about that guy?
I don't think so.
That would comfort me, except for the fact that you don't really worry about anything.
I beg your pardon?
If something concerns you, you deal with it. If you can't deal with it, you plan contingencies for it. If you can't plan for it, You generally ignore it. Worrying isn't an option on your drop-down menu.
Dealing with the unknowable means that one literally cannot worry about what will happen, as anything one can imagine will, by definition, not happen. But you have misdiagnosed me, my dear. It's not that I don't worry, simply that all of my worry is centralized on one target in particular. That target is you, of course.
Aw, sometimes I forget how sweet you can be.
He can, can't he?
Oh, hey!
Ah, well, I see we hug now. Interesting.
Angelique, it's a rare pleasure to see you. Though I must admit to being curious, I did not notice you come in.
That certainly should not surprise you, Mr. Lovecraft. I've gotten to the point that people knowing that I have come in is in the distinct minority of my life experience.
Yes, well, the door never opened, which did excite my curiosity.
It did not. I came in the other way.
There is not, in fact, an other way.
You would lose that bet, in my professional opinion, but allow me to restate things. I came in the other way.
Ah. That clarifies and alleviates a number of concerns. No one can pass through that pathway who means harm to me or mine. How you learn to make use of that pathway is another question.
It is. It is an excellent question, in fact.
Which means you're not gonna answer it.
See? She gets it.
A mystery for another time, then. What brings you by?
I understand you recently turned down a job offer from Mr. Devon.
I did.
I would like you to accept the offer.
And I suspect that the reason of why you want me to do so is another excellent question.
Deliciously astute, Mr. Lovecraft.
I'm then left to make assumptions based on known data. You being who you are, the most logical conclusion is that you believe the item he wants to find is indeed findable. Further, you believe it will be easier to steal it from Devon than it would be to take it from its current location. I would go so far as to guess that you even have a buyer lined up for the item once it is in your possession.
I know you're a detective, Mordecai, but that is nevertheless impressive. Yes, the scepter seems likely to be on the market sooner rather than later, and my employer would like to add it to their collection.
Devon said he was after an amulet.
I can't help what he told you, but he's absolutely after the scepter.
Oh, I knew that part already. The amulet is cursed to kill the first person to touch it. The scepter is the object with some intrinsic value. He wants me to pick up the amulet so he can leave no loose ends.
Oh, dear. How rude. Well, that should give you plenty of incentive.
Not even a bit, actually. Devon wants me to help, then he wants me dead, because those two things in that order happen to be convenient to him. There are enough entities that wish to kill me that I have long since stopped taking it personally. I'm certainly not foolish enough to put myself in a position where I am easier to kill just to spite someone for wanting to kill me in the first place. No, Angelique, if you wish me to take on this task, you're going to need to answer two questions for me, no matter how excellent they may be.
Fire away, pet.
Question one is going to be the usual. Why would we want to see the scepter thingy in the hands of your collector instead of with Mr. Devon?
Devon does not want the scepter. He wants to sell the scepter to the highest bidder. Unfortunately, he's short-sighted enough that he will not ask what the highest bidder will do with the scepter. And the idea of destroying the world probably has not entered into his mind. My employer, on the other hand, has possession of several items which can destroy the world already. You can at least be sure the end of the world is not the endgame for my employer.
Fair enough. So we move on to question two. What can you possibly offer me to make me willing to work in close proximity with a man who I know is hoping for a chance to murder me?
I am certainly not unprepared for that question. We will begin with remuneration. In addition to whatever Devon is offering you...
Which we are going to need to collect up front.
Quite so. In addition to that, I'm offering you triple your usual daily rate.
As there is a non-zero chance that I won't live to spend it, money is not the end-all be-all of incentives for me.
Ugh, we were getting along so well, and then you say the spiteful words about my favorite thing in the world. In any case, as I said, I would begin with remuneration. The second part of the payment is quite perfect. You may have what is in this box.
Oh, you are good at this.
I am, aren't I? For the man who deals with the unknowable and the unspeakable, I felt it only appropriate to offer something unknown and unspoken. It could, of course, be almost anything smaller than the box itself. A priceless trinket, a lucky rabbit's foot, the key to a certain woman's boudoir.
The inside of an empty box.
Also possible. It's simply a matter of whether you believe the contents of this box I am offering are worth risking your life over.
All right, Pandora, we have an accord. Gladys, would you...
Oh, please, Morty, I'm already dialing Mr. Devon's number.
I don't like it, Roberts.
What's not to like, Carmichael?
This isn't how archaeology is supposed to work. When you find a map made centuries ago, it's supposed to only be as accurate as maps were a few centuries ago. They're not supposed to be more accurate than my GPS.
Right now, just about anything is more accurate than your GPS.
I expect technology to be unreliable in remote areas. I do not expect ancient maps to be hyper-reliable.
So, what you're complaining about is that your job is too easy?
No. I'm saying that it's too unbelievable. When you translate text from an ancient language, it doesn't come out in English as perfect rhyming couplets. This is not how archaeology works.
I guess I'd be more concerned about that if I was an archaeologist. I'm a guy who goes in and takes stuff.
This has to be a setup. Someone wants to think that the amulet is here.
Largely because the amulet is, in fact, here.
Makes sense to me.
This doesn't seem like a setup to you, Mr. Lovecraft. These things have been hidden for years.
Hidden? I don't get the sense that the people who put the regalia here had any particular desire to keep their activities a secret. Finding the path here was the tricky part, as the entrance was obscured. That was probably done by someone outside of the cult we're tracking down. Since we found the path, however, it's been a pleasant stroll down a clearly defined trail. There's some overgrowth from the passage of time, but we have not had any doubt about where we should go. The cult wanted this place to be found.
So why hasn't it been?
Who says it hasn't?
Oh, she's right. Look there.
Footprints. They're old. But the tread pattern is from the last half century or so.
Sony has already been here and taken the dingus.
Yes, to the first part at least.
Is there a problem over here?
Yes, but shooting it won't help, so go away.
Sarah.
Oh, good. Two people with guns to solve a problem that requires zero people with guns. Good times.
You don't got a lot of self-preservation instincts, do you, Roberts? Yes, Gordon and I have guns. Because guns are a helpful tool to deal with the local wildlife, or with any idiot who doesn't want us here. Maybe you should think about that before you act like you don't want us here.
You said there was a problem? Mr. Devon doesn't care for problems.
Well, this one is not my fault, so it's not my problem anyway. People have been here before. Old footprints leading to the temple. Odds are pretty good the regalia has been taken.
The best we'll be able to do is maybe find some clues to who they were. Maybe you can figure out things from there.
I don't like coming all this way for nothing. But it doesn't look like we're spoiled for choices. Come on. I want to get there before sundown.
Should we have pointed out that there aren't any footprints leading away from the temple?
Should we?
This thing.
And why won't it die?
Knight to Bishop 3.
An interesting strategy. I believe I will castle my king.
The head. Shoot for the head.
Sure, you want to tell me what part is the head?
Can anyone get to Carmichael?
Leave him. That thing just...
just about tore him in half. There's no point.
Bishop takes pawn.
And pawn takes knight. You didn't see that coming.
Oh, no. Sorry. It's a little distracting here.
Would you like me to ask them to keep it down?
No! No, I think we're good.
Yes, I think so. Well, sundown in about 20 minutes, and if we flood the place with light when the sun is gone, that should take care of this abomination, wouldn't you say?
Queen to rook 6, check.
Queen to bishop 2, checkmate.
Oh, drat.
You're usually better at this, my dear.
Can I bring the backgammon table next time?
I'm going to insist on seeing the dice before we leave, but I don't see why not.
You just don't want me to roll snake eyes.
Oh, not the literal ones, at any rate. Ah, Mr. Devon, how good of you to stop by.
Unannounced?
And with company, I see. Forgive me, your name is...
I am here for that which was promised me.
This is my buyer. He'll be leaving here with the merchandise.
You know, the way you drew your gun when you said that, I thought for a moment you were saying your gun was the buyer.
The pistol is unnecessary, Devon. I have received your payment, and the amulet you requested is in that case on my desk. You're welcome to it.
Not the amulet. The scepter.
Scepter. Scepter. Gladys, were we hired by Mr. Devon to go after a scepter?
Nope. But there was that stick thing with the black rock.
Oh, that. Did you grab that as well?
I was going to use it as a door jamb.
Well, that's where that came from. I thought I had seen something like that about the place.
Enough. Give me the scepter.
Afraid I can't help you there. We experienced a recent break-in. If I'm not mistaken, the thief took the stick thingy. In any case, it's no longer here.
What did the thief look like?
Gladys, did you witness the theft firsthand?
Didn't see a thing.
Nor did I'm afraid. Can't help you.
Lovecraft, I need that scepter.
Forgive me for saying so, but now is a terrible time to bring that up.
I have been promised.
No! No, wait! I just need a little more time!
Promise!
Oh, that was messy. He is extremely dead now.
I should say so. Well, good day to you, sir. Sorry things did not work out for you.
No.
Beg pardon?
I have swallowed his empty promises. And all that has been promised to him is now mine.
Neat. You would make a great bankruptcy lawyer.
You have promised to him, and so you have promised to me.
If I may, I really don't think you want to press that point.
Give me what is promised.
Well, all right. Though I should point out that at no point did I promise Devon a scepter. Had you been paying attention earlier, you might have caught on to this detail. So now, I'm afraid, you're in a bit of a pickle. The power you have to demand what is promised is, as you well know, absolute. Unfortunately, it also means that whatever you demand, you must therefore take. So here is what was promised. Take it. I insist.
No. No. No!
I'm going to go out tonight to get some new rugs.
An ideal solution.
So, you're gonna open up our lady thief's box to see what's in it?
No rush. I rather like having something to look forward to for a change.
The item you requested.
I gave you a month to achieve this task. I'm not paying you extra for your expedience.
Call it professional pride.
Do you know what this scepter is capable of?
Almost certainly not. That's part of the reason you wanted me to obtain it for you. Most people who knew would probably not have touched this job with the proverbial 10-foot pole.
Most people, yes. Though you are hardly the novice in dealing with these artifacts that you were when we first encountered each other.
I like to know just enough to not be eaten. I can't put a price on what you've taught me.
By which you mean you will not give me any money in return. That's all well and good. But I am not your only trainer. And I am aware that you had help on this job.
If that's a problem, the time to specify so is before you send me to do a job. My payment?
No need to be belligerent, Miss Bravour. I'm expressing a concern. I'm not foolish enough to try to stand between you and a large pile of lucre. Your payment in cash.
Ah, delightful. Please let me know if you need anything further.
I have quite a list, as you know. However, you need to be careful when you're enlisting Mordecai Lovecraft for assistance with the project I'm sending you on.
I always need to be careful, Caroline. But if you prefer, I will be judicious with calling on your son for aid.
You know he's my son?
If it's not a question of how something defies the laws of reality, best to assume that I know it. Now, your son has quite the collection of his own artifacts. Are there any you would like me to procure? Something you don't feel he can be trusted with?
Everything which belongs to me will one day be his. I don't need you to steal anything from him. In fact, when it comes to Mordecai, there's only one thing I want. It's physically possible you could provide that, but it is perhaps a bit early in our professional relationship.
Oh, do tell. What is it that you want?
I want the family line to continue. In other words, I want what most mothers want at some point. Grandchildren.
You have been listening to the Lovecraft's Detective Agency, Episode 10, produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Mordecai was Andrew Dell. Gladys was Liz Music. Devon was Aaron Manka-White. Angelique was Rebecca Scheimer. Carmichael was Michael Krellen. Roberts was Adam Gastengi. Sarah was Andy Gastengi. Gordon was Rick Tennant. The buyer was Ray Greenlee. And Caroline was Jill Wenzel. Some music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Tune in next time for something even creepier.
Dan Wenzel here with Seat of Our Pants Players. This is your reminder that November 20th and 21st, you can come see us live and in person at the Seat of Our Pants Players Crassly Commercial Kringle Fest. Head over to dcptheater.com, click on the 2021 outlet season, scroll down to you see us. Get your tickets today.